the cellar we gather round. Stories told, no need for sound. Saxophone plays so smooth and true. Feel the vibe, it's all for you. Echoes bounce on walls of time. Hear the rhythm, hit the rhyme.
Welcome to this special episode of the Cellar Talk. As we step in into this first month of the year, it's hard to ignore the energy and motivation that comes with the new year, new me mindset. Many of us are setting goals and to improve our health, fitness, and overall well-being. But how often do we stop to consider the foundation of all our bodies? Today, I'm thrilled to have Becca with us, a physical therapist who has dedicated her career to helping people understand, care for, and optimize their physical health. This conversation couldn't come at a better time. And Becca will guide us through the vital role physical therapists play in our lives, helping us recover and prevent issues we might not think about until it's too late. Whether you're someone starting a fitness journey, recovering from an injury, or just curious about how to treat your body better in this year ahead, Becca's insight, I'm sure, will be invaluable. So grab a coffee, settle in, and let us dive into what it really means to take care of ourselves this year, with a little help, of course, from an expert like Becca. Becca, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Very good. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting and ironic that we were supposed to record this many months ago.
I know.
But what timing, like what better timing than now to sort of have this episode come out now?
I know. It wasn't even about like what the new year, new me
mindset. No, it wasn't. Yeah.
But I just used it.
Timing is everything. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. So you've been in a physical therapist for how many years?
Yeah, yeah. So born and raised in Baltimore. Okay. Played 2 sports, 12 varsity sports in high school, 2 D1 sports in college. Always sort of knew that PT was what I wanted to do. Okay. I never deviated. It was sort of like tunnel vision. I'm going to be a PT.
Okay.
And once I have my mind set on something, I go after it.
That's good.
Yeah. So went to PT school at George Washington University.
Okay.
Went to undergrad there as well. And yeah, and been in the field for 14 years. I primarily work with athletes, which is super rewarding.
Okay.
I love what I do, and I'm just happy to be here.
Oh, my God. How does it feel to be very, very important? You guys are super important. And I want to dive into, like, directly, because I'm definitely, it's not my my activity. I don't know much about physical therapy. So the first thing I want to talk about, like, how do you assess and the diagnosis behind it? So my first question to you will be, how do you approach assessing new patients with complex mobility issues, and what key factors influence your diagnosis?
Sure. So in Maryland, we have what's called direct access. So where previously patients would have to go to their doctor and get a prescription before they could come to us. Mm-hmm. Now patients can come to us off the street. So we have to have the ability to evaluate a patient and see if they're A, appropriate for us, and
okay,
B, if they're not, then help guide them to the professional that they need to see before they come back to us.
Yeah.
Just to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah. Just because not everyone can actually really need a physical therapist. Sometimes we just need other sort of therapy.
Maybe it's surgical. Maybe something happened and it's beyond what I'm able to help with. So it has to be sort of a team approach.
And what are some of the most common movement dysfunctions that you encounter, for example, and how do you typically address them?
Yeah, well, to go back to answer the question on sort of like the evaluation process.
Yeah.
So someone comes to me, either they're hurt or they want to improve on something. Okay. You don't even have to have a technical injury to come to PT. Like we'll get into talking about this later, but it can even be preventable stuff, which is what I really like working with. Get you before you get hurt.
Yeah.
So they come to me with a diagnosis. We sit down, we have a conversation, kind of the subjective portion. So just talking gets most of what I need to know out. And then we do sort of a more formal objective exam to sort of watch you move, figure out what the cause is, and then create a plan to hopefully help get rid of that pain. And ideally, like, help it not come back. I really, like, education is a huge piece of what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys, like, deal with a lot of people that really don't know exactly what's happening and how to deal with it. And that's probably why they come to see you, but like they have no knowledge. And is it hard sometimes to explain? certain things and why would you recommend to do something? Because we all have preferences.
Yep. Everyone's a different learner. So right. kind of showing them either verbally or with one of the apps I have that can show them like a picture of the anatomy and what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's many different ways you can help someone understand what they're going through. The hard part is if, say, they come to me with a shoulder problem, but it's actually their neck, or they come to me with like pain in their legs, but it's actually coming from their back. So helping them connect those dots can be more challenging. If it's a little more complex versus just like, I tore my ACL. It's very straightforward.
Interesting that a foot pain can come from the back.
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand that.
Yeah, so like our spinal cord, everything is ruled by nerves, which roots in our spinal cord. So if you have a herniated disc that's compressing on a nerve that innervates the muscles that run down to your tip of your toe,
mm-hmm.
then you can feel stuff down your legs. Or if it's in your neck, you can feel stuff in your fingers and your hands.
And sometimes you think it's just a sciatica or something like that, like mm-hmm. really hurt in your leg that's not related to your leg.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, interesting. Of course, I never thought of that.
That's the cool thing about my job. Like, I love being a little investigator, like detective. To figure out, like, okay, like, what's the root cause here?
Because for someone like me, a body is a body. Like, you know exactly how it works.
Yep.
And knowing those little details, if we get all to know them, or just to consult someone like you whenever we feel any pain. And that's why it's very important whenever you feel any pain, instead of just Google it, for example. It gets very hard. I'm sure that you get those patients that come like, oh, well, I already checked online and I knew, I saw that this and that, so I already know. And those are sometimes very hard to deal with, I'm sure.
Dr. Google, yes.
I know. So what are the most common movement dysfunctions that you encounter?
Yeah, so as I said, I work with a lot of athletes, so it's a little biased towards that. I work with a lot of runners, so that could be a lot of like knee pain, hip pain. A huge percentage of people have low back pain.
Okay.
So I work with, you know, adults as well, who a lot of them sit all day. So they love to run, but their job is causing a lot of back issues.
Yeah.
So that's very common. In the high school, college population, it's more knee injuries. Treat a lot of patients after like ACL tear in the knee, or shoulder issues like instability, popping out, that kind of stuff.
So it depends on the population that you're dealing with in the segment that you have, like the patient that was in front of you. So it has to be something that's personalized.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be dependent on the person and the individual that's in front of you. So it's not like the same thing that you have to, it has to be tailored for the person. If the person is an athlete, then you'll have to go a different way.
Yep.
If you're just sitting down the whole day, maybe just moving a lot more and a lot more often, I'm sure it can help. So as far as treatment plans, for example, can you walk us through the process of creating a personalized treatment plan, for example? And what are the main factors you consider when tailoring a therapy to an individual, for example?
Yeah, so to speak to the first point, I could have 10 patients that tore their ACL, they had surgery, but the ACL is the easiest thing to treat. The knee is so easy. It's the human that's behind it that's the challenge. So do they work all day? Are they trying to return to a sport? What sport are they returning to? What time of season is it? What kind of support system do they have? Are they struggling more mentally with it, recovery versus like physically? So there's so many factors. You really have to take the person into account.
Okay.
And not just like focus on the joint that you're treating. You have to consider the whole human behind it.
Okay. And like food, does it go with like inflammation? For example, if you eat a lot of sugar, you will have a lot of inflammation. Now, healing it will take a lot longer.
Sure.
So is it part of your job to even talk about nutrition, or you work with a nutritionist, or you advise someone to go and see a nutritionist to change a little bit their diet so they can actually get back on their feet faster?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually did a whole podcast with one of our dietitians on this topic.
Great.
Because nutrition is so important for healing. So within my scope of practice, I can speak on nutrition, but I'm not a registered dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to like be a little particular in what I do discuss. And if it is becoming more of an issue, or if I'm suspecting that they're struggling with their eating, then I can certainly have many times referred them to a dietitian.
Yeah. And you work alongside, like, there you have a certain, yeah, that's because that's hard now, convincing someone when you're not a nutritionist, convincing someone like, hey, probably you have to eat this instead, like, and limit yourself, like no dressing, for example, because that's what most people think. Like, I'm just going to go and eat a salad with some protein, but I'm going to load it with a lot of dressing.
Yeah, it's all about balance, right? And I want to be specific on nutritionist is very different than a registered dietitian. Registered dietitian, there's a lot of schooling behind it. They are certified. They've done a ton of hours. You can go online and get a nutrition certificate. So if you are seeking nutritional advice, then you really want to go towards a registered dietitian.
Wow. I have no idea that existed.
Yeah.
And that's why we need people, like we need whenever we feel anything. Last time I felt a little pain in my hip, left hip. I was talking to Christina and she said, well, just go and get a PT script, for example, and we can get you started. I went and I checked. The therapist asked me to just walk towards her and then walk away from her. And she's like, there was no unbalance. And she made me make so many moves that I've never made before. So I was a little uncomfortable. So the main thing is just stretching for me. And like, it was so quick. But I have to hear it from someone else, because I really did not think of just stretching can prevent me sometimes. So instead of just like waiting until it's too late, it's always better to, whenever you feel the pain, just go to a professional.
100%.
Yeah.
I talk about it like a car. Like, you're not going to wait till the check engine light comes on, or like the red lights are flashing and the emergency signals are going off.
Or the oil light.
Yeah, or the oil light. Like, once you start seeing that yellow flash, like you're starting to feel something, that's the time to go get it checked so it doesn't become a bigger issue. Like, don't be stubborn. Don't go to Google. Like, see a professional and figure out a plan that can be tailored exactly to your findings versus a general YouTube video.
Yeah. And we get now everybody's consulting YouTube more often than, and do you have that, like, do you get that sometimes you're not believed as much as a YouTube video, or like when you're talking to a patient or something, like it's hard to explain to them that actually it's not your foot, it's your back?
Honestly, people come to me for my professional advice, so they do trust me. Like, we build that rapport and that trust pretty quickly. So I don't get a lot of pushback there, but it is important to meet them where they are, because if they did do a YouTube video and they're like, hey, that helped, I feel better, I'm like, great, that's awesome. And here's some other stuff that we can consider.
And as far as treatment, for example, they will have some preferences. Like, oh, I don't want to do this, I would like to do this. So how do you balance patients' preferences with the clinical goals of a treatment plan?
Yeah, there's a million ways to skin a cat. I probably have a million exercises in my brain. So if something's not working, then I can abort. If they're having a difficult time, or I'm having a difficult time explaining how to do something, or why it's important, and they're not getting it, that means they're not going to do it at home correctly. So why am I going to keep like trying to do that? So I will switch it over to something else. But also, like, again, that education is so important, so they understand, they buy into it.
Yeah, buy-in is very, very important. Yeah. Like, and especially with not just with the patient, but like even with like the coworkers and everything, like you have to convince and then just stay on the same page, like with everybody else. Is it like the physical therapy world, does it evolve like really fast? Do you have like new material that comes every day, or just like medicine, like doctors, when they get older, like the new ways of diagnosis, like do you have like a lot more equipment day after day? And
yeah.
As far as technology.
One other comment for the home exercise, the treatment stuff, is that I like to ask people, how many exercises can I realistically give you that you're going to do? Because if I try to give them 10 things and they have five kids running around and they have to be all over the place and they have 10 minutes to do whatever they can do for their body, then I'd rather meet them where they are and give them stuff that they can do consistently instead of giving them 20 things to do that are never going to get done. So that's I feel like that's an important point. But to answer your question, there's always research happening. So it's important to stay up on the research. What are the best techniques, et cetera. But you also have to take into account the person in front of you again. So not everyone fits into a nice little study.
Personalize. It's about the individual that you have in front of you, instead of just, not the same thing will be a common thing for everyone, because we're all different. And then you really explained that really well when you said that, like, it depends on who's in front of you. Either it's like a young athlete who's a university, or a parent that just spend their day sitting down at an office. So it is a different thing to like when for me, for example, I work standing up for a minimum of 9 hours a day. So for me, stretching is very important because I feel like I get all my cardio from work because I'm just constantly moving. I don't sit down. So when I come home, sometimes I just sit down and not do anything because I am tired.
Yeah.
Sometimes it starts with 5 minute habit. Mm-hmm. There's a great book about that.
The Power of Habit?
Or the Leader Habit.
Okay. I don't know that one.
So the Leader Habit is just like when you start it just with a 5 minute habit every day if you want to really learn something. And there are some books that talk about like 66 days to do a habit. And there are other books that talk about 10,000 hours. Mm-hmm. So the Leader Habit is like, no, just 5 minutes a day. And then you put it as an alarm. If you lack cleaning, so you want to learn how to clean and develop that habit, five times a day, just set up the alarm and make it like five minutes. And at some point you'll find out that over time you have, like now you don't just stand on that 5 minute. Now you're doing it for a half an hour just because we just like brushing your teeth and all that. So you just walk in, if you have to stretch 5 minutes every day, and one day you'll be doing it for a half an hour and it's just going to be a habit. You can't move on from it.
I feel like a lot of it is discipline as well.
Hmm.
If I set a goal, it's going to happen.
So that's your personality.
Yeah, it's my
get hyper focused?
Oh yeah, of course.
Something?
Yeah.
What is the latest thing that you got super hyper focused on?
I just started wood burning.
Wood burning. Yeah. Explain to me.
So basically, I have a piece of wood. Literally, just bought a circular saw because I go all in when a new hobby arises. So I draw like something on the wood. I burn it with a little like hot pen, basically with a piece of metal on the end, and I paint it. So,
okay. Well, I think I know what you're talking about. Like it's just like instead of painting it, you're like burning it with. Okay, but you have to have like heavy machinery for that, or just like you do have now some material that are smaller enough to do it at home.
Yeah, I just bought like a little startup kit.
It starts like that.
Yeah.
And then now, since you're going to get hyper-focused on it,
yep.
I'm sure you're going to start upgrading.
I did already.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I literally just started with literally drawing and my initials on a piece of wood. This was like last week. And now this week, I have a circular saw. I bought a whole wood plank. I bought acrylic paint. I bought like all the things. I have containers now, boxes to store all this stuff in so it's organized. Yeah.
That's amazing. This is my problem too.
Yeah.
I have the same problem. I can see exactly what you're talking about because I started with like a podcast bundle, two microphones and a little interface, $120.
It's impressive.
Yeah, but this is not the first one. It was $119 on Amazon, and now this is a lot more, So it's just like, I need a better microphone. Yeah. Oh, now I need this. So maybe $2,000 later, you will have a very, very upscale wood burning skills. Oh, and when did you start that?
Last week.
Oh my gosh. And you already upgraded it?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. I'll ask you a month from now. How is it going?
To be fair, I am currently out of the clinic because I had my rotator cuff repaired. So having these, I call them sit still activities, are important to help pass time.
And do you sit still?
I'm not good at sitting still.
I know. Yeah. You've been active for how long now?
Forever.
Since you don't even remember probably when you did not really work.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm at that stage. Like, you don't know exactly. You've been active, so now asking you to stop, that's a challenge for you.
Super.
And a challenge for the person that's asking you to stop. Because they know you're not going to stop.
Yeah, my surgeon follows me on Instagram, so he's seeing all the crazy stuff I'm doing.
You've never gotten any call or anything?
No, but he like hearts it and fire emojis it, so oh, nice. I think he's on board.
No, he likes what you're doing. You have the proof.
Yeah.
Yeah. No heart, like hearts, so not no, just
got,
like
we have,
just
we have a thumbs. Hearts, we have okay. fire, yeah, we not get all the thumbs up. Emojis.
So now that you just had a surgery,
yep,
and that falls into like what I really want to talk about too as a therapist. It is your role to help educate people in how to prevent any future injury. So how do you educate patients on injury prevention and encourage them to integrate the practices that you advise to them into their daily lives? Do you have any technique?
Sure. A big population that I treat are runners. And there's a lot of research that shows that runners get hurt a lot. Hmm. And there's good data that shows that strength training is very helpful to help prevent injuries or minimize risk of injury.
Right, right.
So having that research backed is helpful when I'm trying to educate runners. I do a lot of like talks with our local running groups to talk about that. And I also talk about how when we're adults, we can't just go do the thing. We have to do all the things that support our ability to go do the thing. So
right.
If you want to be in my office, just go do the thing. But if you're willing to put in the work to support your ability to safely do something, then hopefully you can evade my office.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the very first, to prevent, and like if you're a runner, for example, what is the main advice that you can give to someone that can apply for a lot of people? Because I know it depends on the person who's in front of you, their age and all of that. But like, what is the main advice that you would give to someone who runs?
Two things immediately pop in my head. One is not progressing too fast. So your volume is important. How much are you doing? And not increasing too much so that your body's not like ready to do that. Mm-hmm. And then also just the importance of strength training to support your joints to do it.
Yeah. So first time running, just take it slowly.
You got to slow progress.
Yeah.
Yep.
And stretch.
No, not just stretch, but strengthen.
No, oh, okay.
Yep.
Strength.
You need a combination. You okay. can't just do one. Yeah.
What is the difference?
Between stretching and strengthening?
Yes.
So say like you sit all day, then potentially your hip flexors, the muscles in the front of your thigh are probably tight. Mm-hmm. So if you go out and run, that requires you to be a little more upright. If your hip flexors are tight, it's going to pull you forward. It's going to affect your stride. So okay. In that case, you want to stretch the front, but then you got to strengthen the back. So often what's tight is weak. So I could go into a whole like hour talk on just this alone, but everything is connected. And usually it's a combination of those things. Sometimes like one will take the priority over the other, but often it's a combination. You can't just do one.
Yeah. So you do have to stretch and strengthen at the same time, because if you touch one area, you probably have to work on a different area, like not the opposite area, but like in a different area that actually will help sustain and just keep you on the right posture, because that's very important. Yeah, never thought about that.
Think about like if you're bent in this angle for a particular angle for so long, mm-hmm. you're really strong in that range, but once you open it up a little bit, you haven't accessed that range and who knows how long. So you're pretty weak in that range. So you got to strengthen that new range of motion to keep it and keep going like that. So it's just it's a process.
Yeah. That's why when like someone gets injured and they have like a bandage, like for a month, for example, they mm-hmm. can't really, like mobility is not an option.
Yep.
After that, you need physical therapy because you have to strengthen the other area that have been, wow. Okay, and you do, like, this is what you, this is amazing. I just sell food to people, so it's amazing. I talk about all kind of food to people. Sometimes they're not the healthy ones. Some of them are not really meant to be healthy either. And those specific exercises and routines that you recommend to people. So for the people that are looking to maintain mobility and avoid future injuries, like what are those specific exercises, for example, like if I want to, for example, I have a hip issue, like I have, like it's very tight, I want to run, for example, I have to work out and then stretch at the same time?
Yeah, so ideally you would have running days and then you'd have days where you work on mobility and then days where you work on strength and stability.
And do you think that, like, especially those first half of January, like when you see people, like really the new year, new me, for example, when they start running, they just dedicate, like they think that just like, I'm going to run and that will fix it. That's definitely not going to fix it.
Yeah. So ideally, I know everyone's excited and I love the energy.
Right, right.
But we got to pull it back because we want this to be sustainable for the long haul, not just for the month of January. So like we talk, going back to building habits, we want to create good habits. And we want to start small. So mm-hmm. that if we go out of the gates too fast, we're going to get hurt. And then we're not going to be able to do it. And then that's discouraging. And then it's just the cycle. And it's going to be January 2026. And we're back where we were.
Yeah. And we're either injured mm-hmm. or gave up
mm-hmm.
or until like next year. So whatever actually weight you put on December, because we had a lot of sugar and a lot of good stuff, we just keep it on until like next year and just adds up. Now, I do want to ask you about, like, as a physical therapist, like, do you recommend people to take any supplements, for example, like vitamins or I don't know, like creatine or?
Yeah, again, that's, I'm not really, I can't really recommend supplements.
Okay.
Personally, I take creatine every day.
Mm-hmm.
I take a multivitamin every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I would refer to like primary care therapist or dietitian to recommend those things.
I love creatine. I think it's one of the best things, and it's a cheap thing.
Yep.
And it helps not just with the body, and I believe that the body actually produces it,
mm-hmm.
but in a very, very small dosage. And now, like, dosages are different from a body to another. Like it depends on the metabolism. Mm-hmm. Some people need like 20 milligram a day, and some people need a lot less than that. But it does help even with your cognitive abilities. And you do have to drink a lot of water, though, because it's not really good for your kidneys if you like, because it helps the muscle absorb the water,
mm-hmm.
and water retention. I do love it. I do take it too. And there are those new things now. I don't know if they're asking athletes not to take like the peptides, for example, because it helps with like the BPC-157. I was reading that helps. Like with the recovery time, and it gives you a lot more energy, but now it is banned for athletes. Not to, like, you cannot really take it if you're, yep. an athlete. So it's very hard. Do you have those athletes that want to go down that route and just like, hey, how can you get me back on my feet very, very fast? Because I want to, do you work with like professional, like football players and all that?
Yeah, we see professional athletes, but honestly, the only population that I can think of that would ask these questions or that typically do are like the ultra marathoners.
Oh, yeah. They want to get back.
Yeah.
They want to get back on running immediately.
Yep.
Yeah. Because like, it's very impatient. Like when you're that focused and when you run that much, you just want to get back on that route,
yep.
and start running again.
Yep.
Do you run?
I trail run.
Okay. What do you like about it?
So my body can't really take the concrete anymore, but honestly, I just prefer to be in the woods, in, yeah. nature. You have to be present because you don't want to trip over tree roots. So yeah, I just get lost in the woods.
Yeah. Around in Maryland, you do it a lot in Maryland, or you travel for it too?
I try to visit at least one new national park every year. So okay. All over the place.
Okay. You can do it just on your own. You don't need a group. Is there any group around us here?
Yeah, there's always meetup groups.
Okay. So you don't have to be by yourself.
I prefer to be solo.
What do you like about it?
It's just my time to like have to myself.
You think about...
Sometimes I think. Sometimes I don't think about anything.
You just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people are connected to nature and on that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know myself. I'm very sociable. I just can't do it by myself. I can't do anything by myself. It's insane. Like I did some solo podcasts, like some solo episodes, and it's just like, I'm like, no, I need that person in front of me. I need to talk to someone. I need to interact. I need to know the person in front of me. And that's why I like, it's more like two friends or two people are having coffee. Like we're just like, this is uncut, unedited. Mm-hmm. It's just going to go straight to every single platform. And speaking of that, like, we gotta get to the podcast later, but there is like a pain management. I do have some questions about pain management, like, sure. how you can manage your pain. Like, what non-invasive techniques do you find most effective for managing chronic pain in patients, and especially for conditions like arthritis? I can't say it. So
arthritis.
Yes, mm-hmm. arthritis. Or back pain. So this is like the many languages that I speak. Sometimes you do have like some areas where you block. So
it's all good.
So how do you prevent that?
I think helping patients understand pain, like pain science, is important. Like, where is it coming from? Is the pain that you're feeling actually like damaging to the tissues, or is it coming from something else? I think understanding that is helpful, so that every time you feel something, you don't think that something bad is truly happening, and then you guard, and then it creates more pain, and you just get stuck in the cycle.
Yeah.
But other, as far as like techniques, like deep breathing is a big one, meditating, shifting your mindset, reframing thoughts or like your judgments on the pain that you're experiencing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Movement is often helpful, like helping patients. They oftentimes they get fearful that I'm going to do this and it's going to hurt. So I get to show them all the things that they can do that don't hurt.
Okay. And sometimes it's just our mindset and like the way our mind, because we don't want, we don't like to get hurt.
But it's important because if you're feeling pain, that's true to you. So I respect that and try to work with that.
Yeah. And you have just to work on it until you don't feel it anymore.
Yep.
Because if you keep stretching every day, it'll feel better every time.
Yeah.
And you
can go. It's normal to feel, again, like differentiating pain between discomfort or like I haven't done this in a while, so it's a little uncomfortable, but like I'm okay.
Yeah. I'm okay doing it. I'm okay feeling that kind of pain, but so the pain is what people really are fearful of. I've started lately doing some holotropic breathing, and I do feel like it's very, very helpful. Now, don't do it for hours because you can start tripping, like for real. But 15 minutes, 20 minutes maximum a day. There are videos online, of course, you can find. So, and it helps with everything. Like it opens up a lot of areas in your brain where you can actually start thinking a lot better and you start capturing all the information a lot better. So it starts with the brain, starts with nutrition, starts with our habits. Whether we stretch or not, whether we are the life that we're having, like, are we someone that works in an office or someone who works standing up all day? Are we an athlete or a non-athlete? How old are we? It depends on all of that.
All of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. So you take every single aspect of it, and that's how that's what helps you tailor a plan and a program for an individual.
Yep.
Wow. Do you have any stories for us you want to share with us? Like someone who, or a case that was, or even yours, that you, like when they came the way they came and then years later they become like a different person, for example. Like a Hallmark movie kind of thing. Like it started all broken down and then the person just got fit over the years.
I'm having trouble thinking of specific case. I've certainly had tons of cases where like they've come back from an injury and conquered whatever goal that they have. Like that's super rewarding to watch someone.
Yeah.
Like I've seen patients that I saw them in middle school and now they're like graduating college and that's pretty wild.
Wow.
The most recent case that like hits my heart though is a patient that I had and I treated him for on and off for like 8 years.
Okay.
And again, I treat mostly athletes and he has had cancer, a very rare form of cancer. Mm-hmm. And one of our PAs asked me if I would treat him even though he wasn't an athlete, I'm air quoting athlete.
Right.
Like he played soccer growing up and he was an athlete. And I said, of course, like I would never turn anyone away. So I treated him. He had many surgeries due to his cancer. And unfortunately, he passed away this past November. But just again, like I working with him and just sometimes he could come in, and he could barely do anything. And I just try to figure out something we could do to make him move because movement made him happy and like gave him purpose and got him out of the house. So that's probably like the most rewarding patient that became my friend that like truly moved me.
Cause they're humans too.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not just cases. They're not just a wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes perseverance too. Like when you really want to, like he's going through already cancer and all of that, but like, no, I still want to get better.
Yep.
I still want to
drive
out and do it.
Yep. And he was a light and had drive and he would come in and just, he's like, I'm here, like let's go.
He was mentally prepared.
Yeah.
So again, like we get back to like mental, physical and nutrition, everything. Like you really have to be ready. If you're not ready, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything.
Yep.
And we spoke about perseverance and you said that you're like trailing and trekking and all of that. Is there any crazy story, like you've seen something in the woods that, because not too long ago I had a hunter. And he was hunting for like a black bear in Maine and he was talking about Bigfoot and all that. Have you ever seen something crazy in the woods or heard something crazy in the woods?
I have two stories.
Please.
I did.
What's I fun? Love those stories.
I did rim to rim at the Grand Canyon last year, which is going from, I went from the south rim to the north rim, and I started, I don't know, at 3 a.m. or something in the dark. And I'm walking to the trailhead, and I turn, I see big bright eyes staring back at me. It was a mountain lion.
Oh my God, I was going to say it, mountain lion, okay. Yeah,
before I even started the trail.
Oh my God, you did not even warm up yet.
Yeah, no, literally walking to the trailhead.
What did you do?
Kept walking. I mean, it like literally was like 50 feet away. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, it was so close. Yeah.
You kept your cool?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. What did you think at that moment?
I thought, you know what, if this is where how I'm going to go out, like, like
what a great life I had.
What can I do?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
A mountain lion. If I see a mountain lion right now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm running away.
I wouldn't no run. Idea. I don't think you'd want to run.
Yeah, because it's going to chase you. It's going to capture you. Yeah, but look, again, wow. Were you, like, anybody told you, like, be careful for mountain lions? Were you prepared? Like,
I listened to some podcast and they were like, don't worry about the mountain lions. Like, they're going to be so far away and they don't care about you. I'm like,
yeah, so you walked in with that mentality. There is no mountain lion.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. When was that?
September.
This last September. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yep.
And what's the second story?
Second story, December 27th, I hiked 43 miles on the Appalachian Trail. So I did the whole Maryland section in less than a day. And it was dark, getting dark, headed towards what's called Weverton Cliffs, just very rocky. And I hear these like birds in the tree and I'm like, it sounded like bats. And I just like, I looked up with my headlamp and I'm trying to see them and I can't. It was just super spooky. Like, I just kept going. Like, I don't know what that is.
So now if it wasn't October, it'll be like Halloween season.
Yeah.
Definitely bats and yeah, like Dracula is there.
Yeah.
My neighbor has a, like, because we talked last time, we had like a little episode about all the conspiracies. And we were talking about Bigfoot again. And there, like, Laura was like, every single picture of Bigfoot is blurry.
Mm.
Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not the picture. Maybe Bigfoot is blurry. It's just a blurry person walking around. I know. It's fantastic. Why Bigfoot? Like someone really checked the size of his feet if he was blurry?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you have to be a Bigfoot to live in. But no one have ever seen it. So anyway, there are some crazy stories out there. Like some people hearing certain things that are crazy. And just being in the woods. I grew up in Casablanca. Casablanca is a multi-million inhabitant. I think last time I was there, it was like we're talking between 4 and 7 million people. So when you walk out, there is no woods. It's just, you know, buildings and concrete and a lot of people walk in, a lot of traffic. So for me, moving to the US was a little different. There is no wood. Like there is so much wood. Like to me, it's like a country that was built on a forest.
Mm.
And that's why you have like I've never seen a squirrel until I got here. We have cats in on the streets in Morocco and sometimes dogs. But here we have squirrels, we have deer, we have mountain lions, I'm sure, in certain areas, and some wolves, and you name it.
Yeah.
I saw some videos about moose and
I've seen moose.
Crazy, and moose are very like they're so beautiful.
Oh yeah.
But super dangerous because they're territorial. They'll come at you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll chase you. And moving here, like I feel like this is too much nature for me. Like I'm scared. I'm scared to be in nature. I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So were you always attached to nature and going out there and hiking and all of that? Or something that you've developed over the years?
No, it's definitely something I've developed. Yeah. Got divorced in 2018. And that's sort of when I was like, I need to get out.
Yeah.
I need to get outside. And then I just got addicted to it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is living. Get it.
With your hyper-focused mind, it was just like so easy just to fall in love with it. And I hear you. It is fascinating, actually. It is fascinating how physical therapy not only transforms patients' physical ability, but also touches their lives and on such a personal level. And even it's really like when you're helping someone, you develop that relationship with them, and you see them actually from being very like pretty much in pain to really healing and all of that. So sometimes it takes a toll when the person is like pain is extended or like shortened. Again, it depends on the person who is in front of you. So your experience in guiding people through pain management and rehabilitation must provide to me an endless stories, like not just one story, for example, and it shows like more growth in perseverance. And speaking of perseverance, you've also recently hit a major milestone in your podcast. You've reached 100 and I think plus now.
Yeah,
episodes. That's to me is just an incredible journey. I imagine that it took as much dedication and consistency as your work with patients. And so how has the podcasting experience been for you compared to your work as a physical therapist?
Yeah, so I never, ever thought I would host a podcast. Like I'm sitting here listening to you talk. I'm like, you have a podcast voice. I do not have a podcast
you
voice.
You do. You really do. No, like, I really enjoyed it. What is it called, first of all?
Let's Get Physical Therapy.
Okay. And when did you start it?
Started February of 2023.
And what?
Is that right? Yeah. Yep, 2 years.
2 years. 100 episodes.
Almost. It's more than that now.
Talking about like a minimum of 24 months. 100.
Almost there. I consistently dropped. I've not missed a week since I started. So
that's amazing.
And sometimes I drop two a week. Rarely, but.
So what do you like about podcasting? What is the thing that really got you into it?
Yeah, so like sitting here talking about myself, I hate doing that. So I love talking to other people and hearing their, like, I love hearing their stories. Like, yeah. I always start the podcast asking, like, how'd you get into the field? And then I always end with asking, like, favorite quote or best advice you've ever been given, just to get, like, to know them.
Yeah.
And then I get to learn about any, like, literally anything. Like, I could talk about any medical health-related topic or literally anything.
Yeah.
And that's so cool.
Because you really, like, your podcast is mostly about getting better, like, physical, and it's related to physical therapy.
Not just physical. So, I've talked about concussion, ACL rehab, like, sports nutrition, even, like, mental health stuff, like, a whole bunch of, it's all over the place with medical topics.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. 100 plus.
I think I've had 110 guests.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Which is crazy, like, to reflect on. Like, I've talked to that many people and I hate talking.
So you feel like you're introverted.
Oh, yeah.
But like with the podcast, you get a little more extroverted and more interested on knowing people. Close to people?
Yeah.
It feels to me it's more than like it's the only time of the day I can actually run it for 6 hours. It depends on the person who's in front of me. Mm-hmm. I've had episodes of like 3 hours. And what I do love about it is just you stop what you're doing. It's the one time you don't check your phone, as if like internet and all the screens that are around us don't even exist, even though I have one next to me here. But nothing exists. Everything stopped. And to me, I believe that it's that is true socializing.
Yeah.
Like when you want to socialize, you just go ahead and have a coffee with someone. When you're podcasting, you know that you can't really afford having a lull time. So we have to figure out something. And that's when you start really knowing the person and just asking the right questions. And how do you feel about like if you have to compare your podcast and abilities, how would you compare your first 10 episodes with your last 10 episodes?
That's a great question. I feel like I'm just better at asking questions.
Okay.
I think I think I listen better, because I feel like in the beginning I like would ask a question, then I like wouldn't listen to what they're saying because I was so focused on, okay, like I gotta like talk about this next. Mm-hmm. And now it's just it flows a lot better, I think.
Yeah. Well, so you were more like nervous about like how you can transition from topic to another, and now like you do it naturally, you don't even think about it.
Yeah, and I go off on tangents all the time. Yeah. It just happens, you know, like we have like a framework of what we're going to talk about, but inevitably it goes somewhere else that it was meant to go. So
yeah,
just go with it.
And how long does it take you to prepare for an episode, for example?
depends on the topic. Like, there's definitely like the orthopedic stuff I don't have to spend as much time on because that's what I do. But if it's something else that I don't know much about, then more time.
Yeah. Is there anything that you haven't touched yet that you want to go to as a podcaster?
As far as topics?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, like I want to know everything.
I'll talk to everyone. Not just for like, not just in medical areas, like you want to just go more and beyond that.
Yeah, I brought on a few more guests last year that weren't in our network. So a lot of the guests, most of them are within my network.
Okay.
MedStar Health, so doctors, PAs, physical therapists, OT, speech, psychiatrists, psychologists, dietitian, like all of it. But I got to have a conversation with a Paralympian basketball player,
okay,
Trayvon Jennifer, who nice. I think he's won 5 Olympic medals now, something insane.
That's amazing.
So hearing his story and just kind of expanding on that.
Wow. Were you ever nervous with someone like I was nervous today because I don't know you?
I'm pretty easygoing.
I know. Now I'm very comfortable.
I feel like people think I have a hard shell, but I think
I know. It's like you're a person with few words. Like I'll say hi, Becca. You're like, hey, how are you? How's everything? Good. But that, like, you're a very, very, very nice person.
Thank you.
And you're making me now, like, as the conversation goes, I'm more comfortable. But like, to me, it's very hard for me to know, especially when you're a podcaster, you just have to just go and just do it. Like, yeah, forget it. Just do it.
Yep.
For me, I'm like a shy person. So it's very hard for me to like know someone that I don't know before, mm-hmm. and then sit down and chat with them and talk to them about like what they do. And I'm trying to understand what, like, first of all, I'm trying to learn. Second, I'm trying to, I have to really assimilate it. And I do some work before that, like just to understand how does it go. But to me, it's just very hard to just say. I get very anxious when it comes to like socializing for the first time with a person.
Yeah.
And probably that. So did you have, or have you had any of the guests and who it was, if it's possible, that you were very nervous? Like, I don't know how it's going to go. What are we going to talk about? How did you handle it?
Yeah. Like I mean, there's a surgeon that comes to mind. I won't say their name. But I respect him so much, and he's been like a really important person in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just so smart and so eloquent with his words. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep up with him.
Like,
he's incredible. Yeah. Like, I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
But it was great. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, like, we're both humans. Like, we're just having a conversation. That's like, I try to just go back to that. Like, we're just talking.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to get to 100 plus.
You will.
Eventually. I'm not going to stop. Like, to me, it's more of a hobby.
Yeah.
It was crazy when I interviewed, like, and I do it in 3 languages. So sometimes, like, people will be like, I was listening to yours and it ended, but then something else started and I got like, I'm like, did I stop getting understanding English or is it just a different language? So I did, it was funny how when I first started, I don't check on like how many followers and how many streams per episode. And I had a Moroccan artist that I didn't know before. And he's a painter, he's a sculptor, he's a poet and all that. And I loved the conversation that it lasted more than 3 hours. It was through Zoom. He was in Morocco, where I come from. And I was here and we were chatting and everything. And then all of a sudden, like a week later, it was more than 10,000 listeners and then like 9,000 followers. And I'm like, wow, how did it happen? So, and after that, it started actually just climbing. So from a hobby, it was just like, now I have followers. I need some more material. I want to actually just keep doing this. Do you feel, or what makes you continue podcasting, for example? For me, it's like followers. I want to just keep giving them as much as I can. And they liked what I did. So is there anything, or what makes you, like what motivates you to put more episodes every week?
I mean, part of it is I'm just stubborn and this is what I'm doing.
It's good to
like,
be stubborn.
It's like, it's a goal. Like I'm dropping one a week. Like that's what I do.
Yeah. So it's just a habit now.
It's a habit.
Yeah.
I mean, I do enjoy it. I love doing it. It's like a fun, like that's kind of cool thing about PT is there's so many different avenues and creative outlets that we can do and not just in the clinic.
Yeah.
I love connecting like education. So that's like cool, like a really important part of my job and what I really enjoy doing. So it allows me to connect to so many more people than what's just like in my small world.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like outside of your network, as you said, like you don't just focus on what you do and like you just touch every single aspect of like either medical or sometimes just with the athlete that you've you have 5 Olympic medals. That's amazing. I will be so like not even nervous. I'll be embarrassed standing in front of them. I need to learn a lot more. And to me, it was mostly just getting used to the microphone. I'm someone that doesn't like to listen to himself, so sometimes it's very hard for me. I'm like, oh my god, why did you say that? Why would you say it that way? And I chew words, so sometimes I have to open my mouth and just like those kind of things, just be able to get the word out. So sometimes for someone like me who likes to talk but super shy at the same time, like if I say this, would they be unhappy with what I'm gonna say? So I have to push through that, and I think that's what's stopping me from that. Is there anything that you feel that is blocking you from like even expanding more?
Well, first, when it comes to that athlete, I listened to a few podcasts that he was already on, and my goal was to not ask those questions that he's already been asked.
Yeah, that's smart.
And he actually was like, this is awesome. Like, we're talking about stuff that I've never talked about. I'm like, yes, like that's the goal.
Yeah.
My other goal is to have my guests talk as much as possible and for me to talk as little as possible.
Yeah,
like,
it's about
them. This is different. Like, your podcast style is a little different because mine is like education. Like, I'm bringing on a guest to educate on a certain topic versus we're having more of a conversation just about life and what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And your journey. That's what I just want to know like everything about you. Like, and I want people to actually listen to it. Yeah. To me, it's just, again, two friends having coffee and sitting down on January 3rd and it's just cloudy and they're calling for more snow.
It's
snowing.
It was snowing on my river.
I know. And they're calling for more snow on Monday. So it's going to be like, it was yesterday, 7 inches.
Now it's 9 to 10.
I know. I don't think it's going to be a blizzard. I always say that. Like the year I got here in 2014.
I was just going to ask you, have you experienced a blizzard?
I have. Can you imagine when I first, because I grew up in a very warm country. Yeah. Can you imagine my
were you excited?
Oh my God. I was a little kid. I was 10 years old again. It was fantastic to see the snow for the first time. So I saw that and 2015 come. We had a very warm Christmas. I don't know if you remember that. And it was like a 70 degrees Christmas. And someone said that like usually when we have like this warm, because 2010 was our last blizzard before that, when it's this warm, we get a lot of snow. I don't know. That's BS. I don't know. Like, how can you really predict? Fun fact, like January 2016. There was my like very first blizzard that I've ever seen. 3 days at home, didn't walk out. It was something that I've never seen, like shoveling for me.
Yeah.
I got hurt. I don't know. I don't have the technique.
Yeah, yeah.
The neighbors had the machine.
Snowblower.
I know, but how many times do you use it in Maryland?
Yeah.
I'm like, so you can just go to your neighbor who has it for like the last 20 years and just ask him and everybody's nice. Like, I think it brings people together.
Yeah, it does.
Especially like your neighbors. You don't see them really often.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what COVID did too. Like when it got people either out of work, unfortunately, because of that for that time, but they did have a lot of things that sustained their lives. And it got people together. Now it either brings it together or it just like gets you far away from
more isolated people.
I personally like I loved that time. I was like a 10 year old again making angels and all that. Like I'll never forget it. So I feel like this year I feel like this year we might actually get some a lot more snow than the usual because we didn't get any in the last 3 years.
I think it's coming.
Do you like snow?
No. Why? It's pretty. I like it to watch it come down, but if it inhibits my ability to get out of my house and do stuff, then
Oh yeah, now if you're active, of course. there are two things that like that I found that Americans really don't like. They don't like as much as I do snow and Christmas music. when you ask, it's fair that it's the same 10 songs that just goes over and over again, but with different artists. I love Christmas music. I ordered it for my store in Annapolis.
Okay.
And people hated me. I'm like, no, it's just, it is the season.
Yeah, no.
I think it's the best season of the year. I did not grow up with it, so.
That's fair.
I'm very, very happy about it.
Yeah. I summited my first 14er in the snow last year. So I've come to appreciate the cold and be okay in the cold. As long as you're dressed appropriately, like, it's not that bad.
Now we have all kind of gears for the cold.
Yeah.
Would you run? Would you do anything like when it's like cold, or you prefer
to? I hiked 43 miles last Friday in like 23 degree weather.
Oh my gosh.
It was raining and sleeting at the end of it. So yeah.
Oh gosh. Would you feel it? I don't think you feel it.
I was warm. I wasn't even wearing gloves at that point or a hat. I just had on like pants and my jacket. Yeah. It was warm.
Like it was actually very cold. It was under 30. Like I think
it was windy too. 30.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
And when it's windy, it feels like 17 degrees or something. See, I'll never do it in Chicago, for example.
No.
Chicago, like that area, can get really, really rough. But here, it feels more like warmer than certain areas. I don't know. I'll never do it. I would love to get into like trailing. What is the best? Is there any best season for it?
You know, I love the heat. Like, I love being outside in, like, 9-degree weather, but I've actually also grown to love being out there in the cold. Like, I hiked in shorts yesterday, or, 2 days ago, whatever it was, and, like,
it was
20
nice,
degrees. It was, like, real feel 24 degrees, and I'm in shorts.
Well, it was, like, 59 degrees at some point, like, on Monday or something.
Yeah, it wasn't that day.
Yeah. It was a different day.
No, yeah, it was the cold day.
Oh,
it was New Year's Day.
Have you ever thought about moving to a warmer state, for example?
I would never... Colorado is like, feels like home to me.
Yeah.
But I love my job.
You're not the first one that says.
Yeah, I love Colorado.
Yeah. You're not the first one. I've never been to Colorado.
It's awesome.
What makes it stand out?
They have mountains.
Someone like you that really is dedicated to. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Just like the people are different. There's just so much of what I love to do out there.
Yeah. I want to go to Boulder and Boulder. Yeah. A lot of people talk about Boulder, how like nice it is, and all that, and Denver, of course. But I feel like it's colder than here, and stays for a long time.
It's not as bad as you think. And actually, sometimes it's actually warmer there than it is here. And when it snows, it can snow in the morning and be gone by the end of the day. Yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah. Here is like the moment it snows, like everything's shut down.
Everyone freaks out.
Oh my, no. I mean, they shop at my store. They come to shop from me, like, I'm like, okay, it's just going to an inch.
Yeah.
Half an inch.
Yep.
There are some worst areas, like Boston, for example, like they get feet of, we don't get that much. So
they handle it way better than we do.
Yeah, we freak out for everything.
Yep.
It's painful.
It's ridiculous.
Sometimes it's very, very painful. Yep. Any other hobbies that you like to do?
Yeah, I mean, I love to draw.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to get back to podcasting. What's your goal with podcasting? Where do you want to get to?
Yeah, I don't have like a goal of like number of downloads or followers or like, the metrics like don't matter to me really. I don't, like you said, you don't look at them or you just not look at them.
It scares me.
Yeah, my goal is just to keep having solid conversations. I mean, maybe I should have more goals with it, but I'm just having fun with it. Like, I don't want it to be too serious.
Yeah, because it's really good. I do listen to it. It's really good. Like, you do have, like, unlike what you think, like, you do have a really good voice for it. I do sometimes feel like my voice is it's a little too much.
No, it's not. It's not.
But trust me, like I listen to it, and even if you need any help with the equipment, I can actually lend it to you. Like,
I think
whatever.
I might ask your advice because this is pretty sick over here.
Whatever you want. Like, I really, like, when I first started, to me, it's again getting hyper focus. You start with something, you have to start somewhere, and it was terrible, terrible. And I had it, like, I was just talking to a friend, and he was like, "Well, you should go for it." So if you ask Christina if she's happy with all the purchases I've made, maybe not. There are some things like this, like for my tablet, for like I like to have good things. Like if I'm gonna have a podcast, I want to just deliver a good one. And yeah. I do believe, like, listening to you and the way you flow, the way the conversation just flows and just it goes smoothly. And I think that is something that I would like to learn actually from it, and learn from you how to actually get to that point. Like, ask those what and how questions that will get people to talk a lot more. And instead of just talking myself, Christina, if you ask her, like, he didn't speak a word of English, and the day he started, he did not stop, which is not true. I do like to listen. I do like to talk. That's for sure. But I do like to listen a lot more. And this is just me being a little nervous and all of that. But I do like to listen to your podcast. And I just encourage every single person that listens to this, please go ahead and do it, because you're really going to learn a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. As far as goals, like I'm sure you're going for your 200, 300 episode.
I honestly don't even know what number I'm at.
We can look it up right now.
100 was back in August, so I don't know. It's got to be, it's got to be close to 120, I'd imagine, by now, maybe.
Yeah, so you've been very consistent, like one every single week.
Yep.
Have you ever felt like, I don't want to do it?
No, and honestly, what helps me sometimes is like to batch them. So just to have a lot in the tank in case like I'm not feeling it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you do have that. Like, I don't want to talk to anyone. Especially if you're introverted. You know what? I don't want to see anyone.
Yeah. I've done, I think the max interviews in a day I've done is 3. And it's like, and they were completely different topics. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was a lot.
Were you tired after that?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's tiring to talk.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Because you have to listen.
Yep.
You have to talk. You have to stay in topic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't do that really well. Staying in topic. So hopefully at some point I'll, like we talked about Bigfoot in the middle of like pain, like how to help people with pain.
No, that was in the middle of the hike conversation.
I know. Yeah. And we talked about like Bigfoot. Yeah, like, yeah. Conspiracies is something that I'm really, like, they make me, like, to me, it's fun.
Yeah, well, the AT Trail is very haunted, apparently, and there's a lot of, like, horror stories and all sorts of ghost stories on that trail that we did. So that's why the birds were a little freaky.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you think that it was haunted? Like, it
I mean, was that something? Stuff doesn't bug me, but yeah, I heard a lot of stories.
You are amazing. Like, a mountain lion does not freak you out. A ghost does not freak you out. To me, it's just like you've seen, like, and you've experienced so many things.
Yeah.
That, like, you, the ability that you have to make a decision and that fast, I feel like that's what helped you, for example, with the mountain lion.
I guess I don't get scared. Maybe you don't get scared enough.
What do you mean? Like, how would you explain it? Like, okay, I don't get scared. So, you don't have that anxiousness that comes, or...
Yeah, like, maybe, like, my warning sign, like, something that might stop someone from doing something, it won't stop me from doing it, but maybe I should have some more warning signs up.
Something that, like, no, you can't go there.
Yeah.
But you don't have it.
No, I'm like, whatever. Like, I'll deal with it. Whatever comes, I'll deal with it.
Oh, I watched someone like that, like, who climbs. How do you call that? The climbers that don't have any ropes or anything. Solo.
Yeah.
Free solo.
Yeah.
And they studied his brain, and they found out, it's a great documentary on, I think it's on Hulu. And I think it's called Free Solo.
The guy does. Alex Honnold.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he's incredible. I climb as well.
You do?
Yeah.
Free solo?
No. No, not yet. I just started climbing like a year and a half ago or so. But yeah, I'm obsessed with that too.
It's amazing how, like, so yes, I see now, like, when you say that, probably you just don't have that fear factor.
Yeah.
And because one day...
You can't for certain things, yeah.
Because it'll block you.
Yep.
And sometimes that actually, just thinking that we can't do it, blocks us.
Oh, yeah.
And we're the ones that actually don't help us sometimes.
Oh, we get in our way all the time.
All the time. Yeah. It's just thinking. And overthinking is even the worst. But thinking that you can't do something, that's, to me, that's the first obstacle. Once you break through that, everything is easy. And I have an episode about like that, like the how to break through like our mind and change our mindset, because it starts with us, and then obstacles like, oh, I met this person, now I can't really do this, now how can I deal with this? Mm-hmm. And then you keep going until you accomplish whatever you want to do. Now, free solo, I think, like, I was more scared than the person that was doing it when I was watching that.
That's another level, though. That's like, that's extreme.
Have you ever met someone that does a free solo or something?
No. I mostly top rope, which is like you're connected to a rope and
yeah,
a harness, or a bolt. We boulder too. So,
how was it when you did it for the first time?
So this is another like so funny story. I went on a first date.
Okay.
With the man.
Great. And our first
date was bouldering.
Fantastic.
And guess what? I got hooked on it.
You loved it.
Immediately. Yeah. And I now, yeah, it's like one of my favorite things to do in the world.
He's like, can we go to dinner now? I'm like, no, one more.
We're still seeing more. Each other.
Oh, that's so amazing. Like
that's,
that works
well. But yeah, climbing is just, it's a really cool sport, especially to get into as an adult. It's just a really cool expression of physicality. It's like dancing on a wall. It's like art on a wall. You have to be present. Wow. You have to problem solve. It requires a lot of strength and flexibility. So it's a really beautiful sport.
And what do you feel when, like, okay, you're feeling really happy when, yeah, when you're doing it.
Oh,
you're
yeah,
feeling focused. You're feeling like you're accomplishing something.
Yep.
So is that like what you're looking for whenever you start a new journey in anything, like in a hobby or something?
I think like with climbing, it's applicable to life in that, you know, for me, like I like to get to the finish line, but with climbing, like you're not always going to get to the top the first time. So on a we call them like projects. So reframing, like just getting to that next hold is mm-hmm, awesome, and like celebrating that. And then the next time I do it, hopefully I get to the next one, and then eventually I'll finish it. But it's so applicable to life, because you're not just always going to finish. Like those steps in between are also to be celebrated. It's part of the journey.
Yeah. And it's always little victories,
yep,
that will get you to the biggest,
yep,
to the goal,
yep,
that you want to accomplish. How far did you get so far? You climbed
like
the whole thing.
Like, what are my highest levels?
Yeah.
It's not the highest bouldering level I've hit is a V6, and this probably means nothing to you. And then
I have no idea.
Top roping 5.12 minus with like a break, which to do in less than a year is pretty, I think it's pretty good.
Wow. Wow. What do you have any place you really want to go and climb around, not just around here, but like in the US, for example?
Eventually I'd like to go outside. I'm not there yet. So I have a friend, a PT friend in Virginia who, with her husband, they went to Grand Teton last year and climbed outdoor climbing. So eventually I'd like to get into that, but, for now, I'm just going to stick to indoors.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and like you're doing indoors, where can, like, for example, where can anybody can go and try it for the first time?
Yes. I guess it depends where you live.
Yeah.
In Maryland, in Virginia, we have, it's called Movement Gym.
Okay.
It used to be Earth Trex.
So okay,
there's a bunch of them in Maryland.
And it's mostly like strength and like technique.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
and patience.
Yeah, you can't just be strong and like, you can't muscle yourself up climbs. Like, you have to be strategic too. And
yeah,
there's different holds that require different expressions of strength. So you might be good at one thing, but not good at another. So yeah, it can be very frustrating, but it's so rewarding. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I'd probably like pickleball.
Okay.
That's
I haven't gotten into that yet.
Oh, you would love it.
I bought a set like.
Oh my gosh. The moment you start it.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that.
It is amazing.
Yeah,
it is. I've done it a few times now,
okay,
and the way time just flies when you're doing it.
Yeah,
you don't even feel it until like you're like, that's it. It's been like 3 hours, dude. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's climbing
wow,
for me.
That really.
Yeah,
you don't even feel the
yeah,
time flying.
Yeah, no idea like, just, of time.
That's to me. It makes me like that just on its own. Like,
yeah,
oh my god, I spent 3 hours doing what I really something I enjoyed.
Yep.
And like you really not having that time like management when you're not managing it, it adds a little bit of that. Like,
yep,
I don't have to be here at this time. I think it makes it more. How can I say it? Spontaneous.
Yeah.
And
more present.
Something
you have to be present.
And sometimes we lack that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have everything is scheduled for us, especially like as a PT. I'm sure that
yep, get it on time.
See, yeah,
You got to get there on time, and they have to be there on time because you can't really afford having... And usually the sessions go for an hour, half an hour.
All the way back to the beginning of the conversation.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just like, okay, just a question I forgot to ask.
Yeah. So we see patients every 30 minutes. If it's a new patient, we get a full hour. But they blend into it. It just sort of flows. Yeah.
Gosh. I don't have any more questions. I'm not going to lie to you. So how are you feeling?
I feel good. It's a fun conversation.
Yeah. I did write so many questions. I'm like, should I ask this? Should I ask that? I don't know. I'm trying to get to know you, and I would love to actually have, I'm definitely going to ask people to leave some questions or anything. And if you want, I can have those questions and send them to you. And if it's enough, we can definitely just sit down and have another episode, and we can just discuss that. And we can definitely chat about that. As far as podcasting, can you just remind everyone which podcast you?
Yes, it's called Let's Get Physical Therapy, and it's available on all major podcast platforms.
Spotify.
Apple
Podcasts.
iHeartRadio, all the things. iHeartRadio. All of them.
Amazon Music.
Yep.
Yeah, and welcome to the Cellar again. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. It's been really great, actually, hearing about both, your work as a physical therapist, as well as a podcaster, and as well as a climber, a runner,
artist,
and so on. So, yeah, it's amazing to hear everything that you do. And I would like to talk next time. I hope we'll have another episode where we can talk about your skills as a what is it, burning?
Wood burning. I might have a whole art studio if I
can. Oh my gosh, we'll bring it here and we'll do it. I'd like to actually just do something in this basement too, so we can definitely work on something like that. I would love to do it. And it's impressive the way you juggle between everything, and you keep and you're a very cool person. You're a podcaster, you're a physical therapist, and you have to keep up with your physical therapy, and you do have more than 120 episodes and all of that. So it is amazing. I encourage everyone to go and listen to it, because you really learn a lot from it. So with that being said, I will call it a wrap. Thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me. This has been awesome.
And we'll end it with the way you like to end it. Any favorite quote that...
Oh, man. You're putting me on the spot here.
Come on. Let's go.
I got to Google then. You got to give me a second to Google here.
Of course. I can pause this.
All right.
Let's pause it.
Ready.
We're back.
All right, so one of my favorite quotes, I have many. If you go on my Instagram at Bex Physio, I have so many highlights full of quotes.
Okay.
I love quotes. But one of my favorites is called The Man in the Arena by Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay.
And this is what it says. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Wow.
Boom.
Talks about legacy. Talks about how we do it.
You got to show up. And failing
is okay.
You got to go in and do it.
And failing is okay. Yep. But just stand back up.
Yep.
And keep going. Yeah.
Yep. Resilience.
Resilience. Oh, you are very resilient. Well, that's a wrap. And tune in for the next episode of the Cellar Talk. So just a quick reminder, therapy might be expensive, but this podcast is for free. Thank you, everybody.
We gather round, stories told, no need for sound. Saxophone plays so smooth and true. Feel the vibe, it's all for you. Echoes bounce on walls of time. Hear the rhythm hit the